Here's a question I want you to sit with for a second. When you key up and tell a controller you just hit moderate turbulence, what did you actually measure? Be honest, you measured your stomach, you measured how hard your headset bounced, you measured whether your coffee stayed in the cup, and the pilot 40 miles behind you, flying a jet that weighs 4 times what you're flying, is going to hear moderate and feel something completely different. I'm Vector, and this is Cleared Direct on Radio Hangar. Today, we are going to break down one of the quietest, most important shifts happening in aviation weather right now. It doesn't have a slick logo. There's no startup with a billion-dollar valuation attached to it. But it is changing how the entire system talks about the one weather hazard that hurts more people every year than almost anything else. Turbulence. The technology is called eddy dissipation rate, EDR for short. And the whole point of it is to take that squishy, subjective word moderate and replace it with a number that means the same thing to every airplane in the sky. Let's break this down before we get into the physics. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. The whole journey, one coin at a time. Beautifully made, solid in the hand, built to last a lifetime of hangar flying stories. If you've got a milestone worth marking, or somebody in your life who just earned one, that's AviationSoul.com, okay? The problem first, because you can't appreciate the fix until you feel the problem. The way we've reported turbulence for decades is with 4 words: light, moderate, severe, extreme. Those categories come out of the Aeronautical Information Manual, and they're defined mostly by what happens inside the cockpit. Light turbulence is a slight, erratic bumping. Moderate, the airplane's still under control, but you feel definite strain against the seatbelt, and unsecured objects move around. Severe, large, abrupt changes in altitude and attitude, and you're momentarily out of control. Now read those definitions again, and notice what they depend on. They depend on the airplane. They depend on the pilot. Here's what most people miss. Turbulence isn't a property of the sky. It's an interaction between the air and a specific airplane flying through it at a specific weight and a specific speed. A patch of rough air that gives a fully loaded 737, a gentle nudge can toss a Cessna 172 around like a leaf. Same air. Two completely different rides. So when that Cessna pilot reports moderate turbulence and dispatch passes it to the 737 crew, the information has already been corrupted. Not because anyone lied, because the measuring instrument, a human being strapped into an airframe, is different for every single report. The data tells an interesting story here. Turbulence is, by a wide margin, the leading cause of injuries in air carrier operations that aren't actual crashes. We're talking flight attendants with broken bones, passengers with concussions, hot carts going airborne in the galley. The National Transportation Safety Board has been ringing this bell for years. And the frustrating part is that a lot of it is preventable if the crews just knew where the rough air actually was and how rough it actually was in terms that applied to their airplane. That's the gap. EDR was built to close. So what is it, actually? Eddy dissipation rate is a measurement of the atmosphere itself, not of the airplane's reaction to it. Think about turbulent air as a cascade. You've got big swirls of air, big eddies, and they break down into smaller eddies, which break down into smaller ones, still, all the way down, until the energy finally turns into heat and disappears. That breakdown, that cascade of energy from big swirls to tiny ones, happens at a certain rate. And that rate is a fundamental property of the air in that spot at that moment. EDR measures how fast that energy is cascading. The technical unit is a little ugly, so I'll spare you, but you'll see it written as a number. And in practice, it usually runs from about 0 up to around 1. Low numbers, smooth air, higher numbers, rougher air. The value the system actually uses is the cube root of that dissipation rate, which is a fancy way of saying they've done the math, so the scale behaves nicely. Here's the beautiful part. That number describes the air. It does not describe how your airplane feels about the air, so now you can do something you could never do before. You take the EDR value, which is objective, and you combine it with what you know about your specific airplane. Its weight, its wing, its speed, and you can compute how that exact patch of air is going to feel to you. The same EDR number tells the heavy jet it'll be light chop and tells the regional turboprop it'll be a real thumping. And both of those translations come from the same honest measurement. One sky, one number. Every airplane reads it correctly. Now, how do you measure it? Because you're not hanging a special turbulence probe out the window. This is the part I find genuinely clever, On most airline aircraft equipped for this, there's no new sensor at all. The airplane already knows an enormous amount about itself every fraction of a second. It knows its vertical acceleration from the inertial reference system. It knows its airspeed, its altitude, its angle of attack, its weight, the air density. All of that is already flowing through the flight computers. So, the manufacturers wrote an algorithm that takes those existing measurements and works backward. The airplane feels a bump, an acceleration. The algorithm asks, given everything I know about my own weight and speed and wing, what strength of atmospheric eddy would it take to produce exactly that bump? It solves for the air. It backs out the airplane's own personality and leaves you with a clean measurement of the atmosphere. The result gets computed continuously, usually reported as two numbers, a peak value and an average value over a short window, and it gets downlinked automatically. No pilot has to key a mic, no one has to remember to report. The airplane just quietly tells the ground, here is the true roughness of the air at this position and altitude, a few times a minute, all day long. Boeing pioneered the in-service version of this. The core science came largely out of the National Center for Atmospheric Research, NCAR, in Boulder, Colorado, with heavy involvement from the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, and it's been standardized internationally so that a number measured by a carrier in one country means the same thing to a carrier in another. Airlines like Delta and United have been generating and sharing these automated EDR reports across large parts of their fleets. Every equipped airplane becomes a flying weather station, feeding a live map of where the sky is smooth and where it isn't. Let me pause on that, because it's the systems thinking payoff. You've got thousands of airplanes in the air over a continent at any moment. Before EDR, almost none of them were contributing usable turbulence data, and the handful of pilot reports that did come in were subjective and hours apart. Now, every equipped jet is an automatic objective sensor, dropping calibrated measurements into a shared pool. That pool feeds the turbulence forecasts. Better forecasts route the next wave of airplanes around the rough air, which keeps them smooth and keeps the flight attendants on their feet. It's a network that gets smarter the more airplanes join it, that's the promise. Now let me be honest about the problems, because I don't do hype without caveats. First problem, coverage. This works great if you're a modern airliner with the right avionics and a data link feeding a big automated system. It works a lot less great for the rest of us. Your typical general aviation airplane isn't computing EDR and isn't downlinking anything. So the rich, dense automatic data is concentrated up in the flight levels where the airliners live, along the busy routes, down low, off the airways, over the empty parts of the map, the picture is thinner. The network is only as good as the airplanes feeding it, and the airplanes feeding it are mostly the airlines. Second problem. It's a measurement of where the air was, not a guarantee of where it'll be. An EDR report tells you an airplane hit a certain roughness at a certain place a few minutes ago. Atmosphere moves. Mountain wave and convective turbulence in particular can build and shift fast. So EDR feeds forecasting models, and those forecasts are genuinely better than what we had, but a forecast is still a forecast. This is the same trap I've warned you about with in-cockpit radar imagery. The picture is always a little older than it looks. Respect the latency. Third problem, and this one's subtle. The measurement depends on the algorithm's model of the airplane being right. It's backing out the airframe's response to find the air. If the airplane's configuration or the model's assumptions are off, the number drifts a little. In practice, the standardization has made this quite good and quite consistent. But it's worth remembering that this is a computed value, an inference, not a direct reading off a dedicated probe. It's very good. It is not magic. And fourth, for the number to help you, it has to get to you, in the cockpit, in a form you can act on. The big carriers have this wired into their dispatch and their electronic flight bags, with turbulence displayed right on the route. For a lot of operators, and certainly for most of GA, that pipeline just isn't built yet. The data exists. Getting it in front of the right eyeballs at the right moment is still very much a work in progress. So where does that leave the honest timeline? EDR isn't vaporware and it isn't the future. It's the present, quietly, for the airlines. It's already generating and sharing data across major fleets. It's already feeding the operational turbulence forecast products that the Aviation Weather Center puts out, and international bodies have already adopted it as the standard way to report turbulence intensity. That part is done and running. What's still coming is the democratization, getting objective turbulence information down to the regional operators, the business jets, and eventually in some form to general aviation. Getting more airplanes equipped as sensors so the map fills in below the airways. Folding EDR into the graphical forecasts and the apps most of us actually fly with, that's the next decade of work, and it's less about inventing anything new and more about plumbing, standards, and getting the data to flow to everyone instead of just the biggest players. Here's the takeaway I want you to carry out of this one. The four words we've always used, light, moderate, severe, they were never really describing the sky. They were describing us, and for decades that was the best we could do. So we did it, and pilots got hurt in the gaps between one airplane's moderate and another airplane's severe. EDR is what it looks like when engineering quietly fixes a human measurement problem. It doesn't ask the pilot to be a better instrument. It goes and measures the actual air, the actual cascade of energy, and it lets each airplane translate that truth into its own ride. That's the shift, from how does it feel to what is it? And the next time you give a turbulence report the old-fashioned way, with your gut and your coffee cup, that's still worth doing. A real pilot report still matters. Just know that somewhere above you, a whole fleet of airplanes is measuring the same sky with a colder, steadier eye and slowly. That number is becoming the language we all speak. My thanks to the folks at the National Center for Atmospheric Research and the FAA's Aviation Weather Center, whose work on all of this is public if you want to go deeper, and to Boeing for putting the first version of it into service. There's more from the show at radiohangar.com. This is Vector. Keep asking how it works. I'll see you on the next one.